Good morning and welcome to Q95's morning news for today, Friday, March 27th, 2015. I am your presenter, Angelo Allen. In the headlines, a family struggles for justice after a man dies in police custody. CARICOM stands in solidarity with Guyana as Venezuela pushes to expand its territory. And Flight 9525, which crashed recently in the French Alps, was programmed to go down by the co-pilot. The news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprise and Fast Cash. The details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
$1,000 can be yours.
I need fast cash to get me started, cause I want to get ahead in life. No matter what the problem, fast cash can solve them. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash!
Fast cash! Your money, your way.
In the news, the long-awaited outcome in the matter involving five police officers who are implicated in the custodial death of Joshua Etienne of Portsmouth ended on Wednesday afternoon in disappointment as the case hit yet another delay. According to reports, defense lawyer Don Yeode Stewart told Chief Magistrate Kandir Karet George that the defense had no notice of the matter being set for court on Wednesday. Hence, with the exception of one officer, Hayden Morgan, all the other defendants were absent. Stewart told the court that her clients thought the matter was set for April 2nd and were unsure about what was going on. The Director of Public Prosecution, Evelyn Baptist, in response told the court there was nothing she could do in the circumstances. Sister of the deceased, Maria Etienne Pascal, expressed shock and outrage at the decision. Family lawyer Tiana Behansen said he smelt a rat in this latest development. He told QFM News he has never heard of charges not being read because an unstamped application was submitted to the High Court. Once the matter was discontinued in the High Court, Behansen says, the defendants should have been rearrested and returned to the magistrate's court for charges to be read.
But essentially, two areas I felt which was ridiculous. The magistrate, on the verbal submissions of the prosecution of the defense for the five men at the magistrate's court back in September, October sometime, told the court that they have an application before the High Court, which they had not yet submitted, so there was no evidence before the magistrate. And therefore, he basically stayed the proceeding of the magistrate's court, but without the actual application stamped by the registrar of the High Court of Spain, he really ought to have allowed the charges to be read. I have never heard of these charges not being read. So anyway, that was the first mistake. Yesterday now, if the High Court judge, on a question from the prosecution attorney, suggests to the request from the judge, what is the position now? The judge says, well, you return back to where you were previously. That means he goes back to magistrate's court at the point where the charges were about to be read. So if charges are not read, the person is actually in custody and they are prisoners of the police. So they go right back. In other words, the entire 8 months disappears. You go right back to the magistrate's court and you read the charges. If they are out, then you would have to take them into custody and bring them to court straight away and read the charges for them.
Mr. Tian Emi Hansen. In other news, the Rotary Club of Dominica has concluded its fourth annual hearing mission across the country. The mission, which was held in collaboration with the Centers for Hearing Care and members of the Rotary Club of Boardman, Ohio, the hearing mission was held under the leadership of Dr. Cheryl Figliano, who is president and owner of the Centers for Hearing Care. She says Dominicans need to take better care of their hearing.
They really need to be protecting their hearing. Surprisingly, we don't see many folks that have a hearing loss because of noise exposure, but we do see a lot of folks that because of health reasons or because of genetic involvement that they have hearing loss. So for Dominicans to prevent hearing loss in the future, they need to remain healthy. So working with their physician to be healthy, eating a good diet, getting a little bit of exercise, and if they do have health conditions such as sugar diabetes, have a very close relationship with their doctor here on the island so that their condition is cared for.
Audiologists from the Centers of Hearing Care and the members of the Rotary Club of Boardman, Ohio, arrived in Dominica on March 22nd. The hearing mission, which has been a success over the past few years, focuses on impaired hearing, including partial or total loss of hearing. President of the Rotary Club of Dominica and coordinator of the hearing mission, Marveling Birmingham, says the project, which started 3 years ago, has been able to provide care to a total of 743 patients with 329 hearing aids fitted. She said the program has transformed the lives of many Dominicans, with some persons hearing for the first time in their lives.
We have now the hearing mission. It's in its fourth year, and we have seen some, people have had some life-changing encounters when, we've met certain individuals who have never heard in their life, who didn't go to school, can't read or write or speak, and you fit them with a hearing aid, and they are also elated because at least they can hear the sounds around them. There's one young guy who is now in secondary school. When at first they thought that he was just very slow, a very slow learner, and he's in secondary school now. So there are lots of success stories that we can talk about.
The hearing event was held from Monday, March 23rd to Wednesday, March 25th. Dominica is the only CARICOM country which did not contribute financially to the Ark of Return Slavery Memorial just unveiled at UN headquarters in New York. Wednesday, March 25th, 2015 marked the 8th International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. In observance of this Remembrance Day, the United Nations unveiled a permanent memorial at the UN headquarters in New York on Wednesday afternoon. Dominica's former UN ambassador, Crispin Gregory, said he was part of the permanent memorial committee and was one of the visionaries of the initiative who helped with fundraising for the event. In an interview with Q95 News, the former ambassador said, though, he was also instrumental in getting a regional council of Martinique to contribute 80,000 euros to the project. Mr. Gregoire considers the significance of the memorial and what it signifies, to be a momentous achievement.
It's quite an achievement for the people of the Caribbean and the whole Western Hemisphere, and those in Africa, to have finally a memorial to the 15 million enslaved Africans who were brought across the Atlantic. Many perished in the Middle Passage. And today we celebrate the establishment at the United Nations of a memorial. Most of all, what was important to me yesterday was that the fact that the memorial that was unveiled by the Secretary General and the President of the General Assembly is a memorial done by an architect whose ancestry came from enslaved Africans, a Haitian-American architect.
The ambassador says, however, he was disappointed to learn that in what started off as a CARICOM initiative and later broadened to include the African Union as a joint partner, Dominica is the only CARICOM country not to have made a financial contribution to the memorial.
I have been part of this memorial from its inception. I can proudly say that as a Dominican, I'm one of the visionaries of this memorial, and that Dominica has been involved in this. The only sad part for me is that when I look at the list of contributors to the memorial, the financial contributors, I don't see Dominica listed, and I think that's rather unfortunate. Because this is a CARICOM-led initiative, and I thought that all CARICOM countries would have made the effort to contribute to this most important memorial honoring the victims of slavery.
Police PRO ASP Claude Week says the Dominica Police Force does not discriminate against the less fortunate when they are conducting investigations. Week's comment comes in light of accusations by the public that the police are not taking seriously an incident which took place on February 7th, 2015, in which a homeless man was set ablaze while he slept on a mattress in an abandoned building. The incident subsequently resulted in his death. One person is currently in police custody in connection with the incident and is said to be assisting the police. Speaking to Q95 News on Wednesday, Mr. Weeks assured the public that the police are doing everything in their power to investigate the incident as professionally as possible. Weeks claimed that a high-level investigation is being conducted by an award-winning investigator.
Even speculation and what people generally say, oh, because it's a paro, they just they're light-headed about it, they're not bothered about it. If a police force is light-headed, or if a police force decides, well, because it's a paro and they're not doing anything, I would prefer I, Claude Weeks, as a senior police officer, not to be part of that organization if that is so. And I can tell you that is not so. It is indeed not so. Remember the gentleman, he was burnt very badly. And we did the preliminary investigations. We picked up someone. The person was released. We continued asking questions. One or two little pieces of, info start coming here and there. Obviously, he has died. The intensity of the investigations must go on. And I can lay the fears of the public.
We apologize for this abrupt end here of the insert. However, Davidson Baby Daisy, 46, was formerly of Silver Lake, a small community east of the city of Roseau. Dominica's Ministry of Health has reaffirmed its commitment to working closely with all relevant stakeholders to help the region reach the UN Millennium Development Goal of reducing tuberculosis, or TB, prevalence and the death rate by 50%. The Health Minister Kenneth Daru was speaking on the occasion to mark World TB Day on Tuesday, March 24th, under the theme Find, Treat, Cure TB. According to Daru, despite the declining number of TB cases globally, anyone can get the disease. He says the Ministry of Health is committed in its efforts to find and treat latent TB infections.
we have an assistant superintendent.
Of course, we apologize for that. This is definitely not Dr. Taro.
There should In 2014, we had only one patient treated as a latent TB case, meaning that though he was not contagious, but if not treated, he would have developed the TB disease. Despite the declining number of TB cases, I must remind you that anyone can get TB. And our current efforts to find and treat latent TB infection and TB disease is unwavering. Globally, every year, more than 3 million people who fall ill with TB are missed by the health systems and do not always get the TB services that they need and deserve. One key element in reaching the unreached is improved access to quality TB diagnostic services. And in Dominica, we continue to ensure that patients who require further testing are being tested. The capacity for diagnosing multidrug-resistant tuberculosis is done in the U.S. via the Caribbean Public Health Agency, CAFRA, in Trinidad. And this is one of the critical elements in the overall response to end the multidrug-resistant tuberculosis crisis. I'm also happy to inform you that in Dominica, we have not had any multidrug-resistant tuberculosis cases. The government of Dominica reaffirms its commitment to work in close collaboration with all stakeholders to be part of reaching the Millennium Development Goal of reducing TB prevalence and death rates by 50%.
And Dr. Daru is calling on the public to refrain from stigmatizing people who are living with TB.
Continuity of strategies towards national effort to prevent the spread of TB and HIV is paramount. As a medical doctor myself, I urge the public to do the following. Ensure that you know your HIV status. Have your yearly checkup even if you are not ill. Maintain cough and respiratory etiquette at all times. If you know or think you know someone who has TB or TB HIV positive, encourage them to seek medical care. Be a source of support to someone who needs it. Don't stigmatize and discriminate against people whom you think or know to be living with TB or TB HIV. Our path towards the elimination of TB in our lifetime is not easy, but we will continue to place focus on increasing the community knowledge on their rights as it pertains to people living with TB and TB HIV, and establishing mechanisms to address situations where human rights are not violated.
And that was Dr. Daru, Dr. Kenneth Daru. The Caribbean community, CARICOM, has noted with concern several assertions contained in a communique from the Ministry of the People's Power of Foreign Affairs of the Bolivian Republic of Venezuela, dated 3rd March 2015, which has been published in newspapers of CARICOM member states. The Caribbean community reiterates its firm, long-standing, and continued support for the maintenance of the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Guyana and for the unhindered economic and social development of all of Guyana. In this regard, the community once again expresses its hope for an early resolution of the controversy which has arisen as a result of Venezuela's contention that the arbitral award of 1899, which definitively settles the boundary between the two countries, is null and void. The Caribbean community has also taken note that Guyana has commenced a review of the options available under Article 33 of the United Nations Charter, as provided by the 1966 Geneva Agreement, including the judicial option that could serve to bring an end to the controversy and ensure stability in the relations between the two countries, relations that in recent years have seen positive progress through high-level political consultations and mutually beneficial programs of functional cooperation. Healthcare tourism is listed as an opportunity for the Caribbean region, according to an article outlining 13 opportunities for the new Caribbean. In Caribbean Journal, an online news source, Curacao-based development consultants Miguel Goede and Rooney Colomero, they cited opportunities ranging from the film industry, higher education to ecotourism and sports, and note the special advantages of medical tourism. Healthcare tourism based on niche markets is an opportunity, as the Cayman Islands is currently doing with Health City Cayman Islands. the consultants reported, adding that new hospitals could be built with two audiences in mind, locals and health tourists, meaning a better quality care at home and additional revenue. Shamari Scott, Health City Marketing Director, thanked the writers for spotlighting Health City as well as other sustainable development opportunities for the region, such as green energy and the blue economy, which, among others, promotes generating energy from the ocean. From Germany, almost 10 minutes before panicked screams echoed through the aisles as Flight 9525 plunged towards the French Alps, Andreas Lubitz, a 27-year-old electronic music buff who had clawed his way up from flight steward to co-pilot, was silent and alone in the cockpit. The Airbus 320 had actually cruised to 30,000 feet amid cheerful banter between Lubitz and his far more experienced pilot. But as the pilot shifted his attention to paperwork for landing the short-haul Germanwings flight from Barcelona to Dusseldorf, Lubitz grew less animated, offering brief responses. At 10:31 a.m. Tuesday, the pilot, named in the German media only as Patrick S., apparently heeded nature's call, rustling out of his seat and exiting the cockpit, never to get back in. Moments later, Lubitz, according to a French review of recovered flight data, took the Airbus 320, which was carrying 150 passengers and crew members, off autopilot and began a controlled descent that initially would not have seemed unusual to those aboard. Then came the knocking, increasingly frantic by the pilot, as he sought to re-enter the locked and reinforced cockpit door. In the final moments, the sounds of terrified passengers filled the plane, even as Lubitz, audibly breathing as a bleeping alarm warned of imminent collision, kept quiet through the end. And from Washington, D.C., Drug Enforcement Administration agents allegedly had sex parties with prostitutes hired by local drug cartels overseas over a period of several years, according to a report released Thursday by the Justice Department's watchdog. The report did not specify the country where the parties occurred, but a law enforcement official familiar with the matter identified the country as Colombia. Seven of the 10 DEA agents alleged to have participated in the gatherings, most of which took place at an agent's quarters leased by U.S. government, admitted to having attended the parties, the report found. The agents, some of whom had top secret security clearances, received suspensions of 2 to 10 days. Former police officers in Colombia, though, also alleged that three DEA supervisory special agents were provided with money, expensive gifts, and weapons from drug cartel members, according to reports. And this is where we come to the end of our morning news for today, Friday, March 27, 2015. But let's review the headlines. In the headlines, a family struggles for justice after a man dies in police custody. CARICOM stands in solidarity with Guyana as Venezuela pushes to expand its territory. And Flight 9525, which crashed recently in the French Alps, was programmed to go down by the co-pilot. The news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprise and Fast Cash.